as a highly accomplished technologist and social impact advocate, Maria is actually most proud of the fact that she is indeed a supermom. From automating her workflow to learning new ways to engage her children, Maria describes how her work as Chile and Argentina's national technology officer at Microsoft has created a new love and appreciation for how tech embeds into our lives. In this episode, we unpack Maria's stellar career, from saving lives in the public sector to helping corporations and governments better implement technology at scale. Join us for another fun-packed and insightful conversation about how you and I can support emerging markets to get ahead of the tech curve. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Whoever you are, wherever you are, welcome to the Boardroom Banter podcast. You're joining me, Sean Karanja, in the boardroom. And I've got my co-host here, Boniface Omina. Boniface, how's everything going?
Everything is going well, Sean. Find ourselves in another conversation, a chance to learn from some of the smartest minds in the world. So this is really exciting, and I'm happy to be here.
Right. It's always a privilege. And today we're going somewhere that we probably only ventured into maybe twice in the past. We're going all the way to Latin America, where we're speaking to a mover and shaker of that space. And I'm really excited because our guest today currently holds a PhD in economics and engineering, is a non-executive director of Novopharm and Uno Cinco. And by day, she is the National Technology Officer for Microsoft. Another interesting element there is that while she's doing that, she also co-chairs the AI and Data Committee of the American Chamber of Commerce in Chile. So, spoiler alert, our guest is from Chile, and we are privileged to have none other than Maria Francisca Yanez in the boardroom. Welcome, Maria.
Thanks for the invitation. Very happy and looking forward to this conversation. I'm actually very inspired by the technology that we are all far away and we can be all together. So very happy.
Awesome, Maria. So we could dig into the conversation and tell us a bit more about yourself, right? So we're out here on LinkedIn. We can see the different things that you do, but how would you describe who you are to our audience all over the world? Who is Maria?
Sean, this is a big question, and I will start by something very personal because for me it's the most important thing. I'm a mom. I have two kids. They are 3 and 6, two boys. So they are full of energy, and it's great. And I always start by telling that because it changed my life when I became a mom. And today I have the challenge to be a mom, and I love to be a super mom, and at the same time, a super woman and a super professional woman. So it's challenging, but I can do it thanks to my husband. My husband is from Spain. I'm from Chile. So my family is half and half, from Chile and from Spain. And for me, technology has been always very important because as we are half and half family, Spanish and Chilean, we need the connection. We need technology to be connected with our Spanish family. And well, technology has been always part of my life. As you already told the audience, I work for Microsoft. I really like the way that we work in Microsoft, connecting the world challenges, the country's challenges with the technology, in particular today with artificial intelligence. So I really love my job. And as I said, I also love my family and my role as a mom. So I feel energized every day with the challenge. And this is what I can tell in a little time about myself.
That's beautiful. Beautiful, Maria. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's lovely that you started us off with from a very personal place, and we appreciate that. One thing that we've also come to appreciate in the podcast is a lot of the work that we see our guests do in the professional work boils down to their personal lives and some of their early childhood experiences. We do love to share about, as hosts on the podcast, we grew up as very social people, and we in traveling as much as we have at such a young age, it's allowed us to connect with people and adapt to different situations that we found ourselves in. I love to just dig in a bit into your early childhood experiences, Maria. For someone meeting you for the first time, for them to understand who you are today and the work that you do and why you do the work that you do, what would we need to learn about some of your early childhood experiences and the places and environments that you grew up in?
Well, also good question. And well, I really like to remember my childhood. I have wonderful memories with my family. I grew up here in Chile, in Santiago, in the capital. Chile is a little country, so I all the time felt, I remember that I was kind of in a village in a big planet, you know? So that's why for me the technology is that important, because I always saw that I could be connected with the whole planet thanks to the technology, because here in Chile is a little country. Also, population is not as big as other country, and we are also far away. So it's not just the size, it's also the distances. So that's why the meaning of technology for me, even very early, when I was just a little girl, the meaning of technology was very special. And that's why today makes me very happy to work in the technology sector, but not just for the technology. This is just the starting the story, the technology with impact and the technology with purpose. This is what really inspires me to work every day.
That's really cool. And when we look at some of your past experiences leading up to you being National Technology Officer, overseeing Argentina and Chile, you do have a wide background of different places that you worked in. You know, you did a stint at Accenture in technology consulting. But also what's very fascinating to us is you spent quite a bit of time in the government. So
John. 4 years, yes.
Yeah,
4 years,
4 years
I worked for the public sector, yes.
And so now you're in private sector, but you know, you still are involved in a couple of projects and organizations that are public sector focused. I'd like us to explore a bit of your professional journey. So who is Maria as a professional, and what were some of these experiences that led you to helping the government to implement different technologies and strategies for impact? And now you're doing that at Microsoft. Could you walk us through a bit of what your professional journey has been like and maybe some highlights of that experience for you?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that I'm a learner. This is what I really love to do. And so yeah. I'm a learner. So all my jobs have, if you see, well, you already told a lot about my experience, my job experience. I've changed a lot, but always what I'm looking for is the new opportunities to learn. This is what I really enjoy. And I think that this is a value that we should cultivate. I did it very naturally, and it's something that I really like to motivate my kids to have this passion for learning. But I think that today, it's really key, because if we keep learning, we can embrace new things in a more natural way. And today the changes are so fast, so we need to be learning all the time. So I always see my job, part of my job is learning. So that's something that I enjoy. And I've changed, as I said, I've changed many times. I don't know if many times, but I worked for the government and it was very special this time for me. I worked 4 years for the Chilean government. My role was the head of National Road Safety Commission here in Chile, and my main KPI was saving lives. So it was very, very meaningful. And it was a wonderful experience. And it was 4 years with two different government, different parties. So I learned a lot. This is my main memories. And I also saved many lives. And so really the purpose moved my life at this time. And then I changed for private sector, but I don't see really the frontier or the limit between private and public sector, because what I love is collaboration. So I will say that I transition from public sector to private sector. But really for me, it was not a big change, because what I'm looking always is for new opportunities for learning and for transformation. So I started working for international or multinational companies, like first Indra, and then Accenture, and now Microsoft. And what I really love is to connect technology and innovation with challenges, with problems. And I really see that technology can help us a lot, but always with people in the center. You know, it's not a competition, technology or today artificial intelligence against people. It is more like a new alliance, people plus technology and today artificial intelligence, and we can reach much more.
I find that interesting. You know, we had a guest a while back, and something that stood out from that conversation was the barrier between private sector, public sector, and sometimes in certain countries or locations, that difference is really big, and maybe the private sector doesn't really feel like they have a lot of power in terms of influencing government and policy. And sometimes, you know, the two parts are not communicating very well. Maybe you could give us a bit of insight into what the tech landscape looks like in Chile, right? Because many of our audience and listeners are quite far away, so we have no very limited idea of, you know, what does tech look like in Chile, and what's happening right now, what's really exciting for you, and are there any trends that you guys at Microsoft are pioneering and are really excited about?
Sure, I really think that we are not only in the artificial intelligence era, we are also in the collaboration era. So there is no way to succeed today alone. But I'm not talking just in a personal point of view. I'm talking about the organizations, the countries, the public sector, and the private sector. So if we keep this mind that is all about competition or is all about working in silos, we have value on the table that we cannot really embrace. So for me, it's really important, and it's the basic, it's the foundational, the collaboration. So when I see these silos or this kind of approach that the people or organizations are competing rather than collaborating, I try to show the value of actual collaboration. And I just want to give some examples of from the technology industry. I think that the technology industry is really a wonderful example to talk about collaboration, because technology industry is moving really fast. We know that, but this speed is not possible. It's not possible for any company, no matter the size. Because imagine, Microsoft is a top leader, but Microsoft cannot do everything alone. I mean, we collaborate, and I want to give two very clear and recent examples. Our collaboration with OpenAI or our collaboration with NVIDIA, maybe are the most famous one and the ones that you can read in the newspapers or see on TV. So it's all about collaboration, but also we collaborate all the time, permanently with all our partner ecosystem. And so we cannot grow, impossible. We cannot grow, we cannot do what we do every day without our ecosystem. So it's all about collaboration. So I really believe that we should connect more the public and private sector, the different countries, the different people. So I really enjoyed this opportunity to talk to you. And that's why I feel so motivated and accepted this invitation, because this is part of the life that we are living today. It's all about collaboration and learning from each other. This is what makes sense to me.
Marie, I love your perspective on technology, and you speak about a lot of these innovations, a lot of hope and the possibility that it has to improve our day-to-day lives. I came across something interesting on your recent LinkedIn post, how you spoke about you challenging yourself to improve your productivity and have more free time with your family, and seeing how AI can play a role in that and involving your kids in that. And I think when we listen to a lot of conversations around technology, it's really centered around the workspace and around how it can make us more money or allow us to, you know, work in a hybrid environment. But not many people speak about the role that technology and AI can play in just making our day-to-day lives better and allowing us to connect with the people closest to us. I'd love to understand how you're leveraging some of these technologies within the home. Right. And even when it comes to involving your kids in it, how easy is it to break down some of these concepts and these innovations to your children and find a way for them to learn it as AI natives and digital natives growing up with this technology? Could you walk us through how your day-to-day lives look like with involving AI in your home and activities and trying to just balance that out with what you're seeing in the workplace and how you're actually applying it at home?
Well, AI is not only for work, it's for life. This is my vision, is for life. And actually, let's reflect on the fact that most of us started interacting with artificial intelligence, maybe with GPT, Copilot, or other model, other AI application in our personal life. I'm completely sure that the first interactions that most of the people have or had with artificial intelligence was with personal purpose rather than work. So it's nice is to recognize that today artificial intelligence can help us not only to improve our productivity or to make our country more developed. No, it's for sure it has a huge impact in our work or the way that we work. But I also expect to have a big impact in the quality of life. I mean, we have a huge opportunity as a society to embrace artificial intelligence in a responsible and effective way in order to improve our quality of life. And I wanted to give an example that is not related to my job, but is related to my role as a mom. And I use artificial intelligence today. I use a tool that I really love. It's pretty new, it's Reading Coach. And Reading Coach is based on artificial intelligence, and it's a tool to help the kids to learn to read. So I use Reading Coach with my boy, 6-year-old boy, and it's a play, and it's time to connect and be together. You know, it's not a tool that I leave to my kid. No, it's also a time. It's a gift. It's a time that we share every day, not more than 10 or 15 minutes. But it's a tool that we play together, and at the same time, he learns how to read. So it's, there are thousands of opportunities. This is just an example, but there are thousands of opportunities that we today have, and some of them are free, and that we have to enjoy. So it's, I really have this invitation. Don't think about artificial intelligence and work only. This has an enormous potential, but also bring artificial intelligence to make your life easier or to make your life fun.
Love that. You're definitely a super mom, because super
thanks,
mom
Sean.
Now
I will ask my kids if they think the same.
they're the ones who should tell us, right?
I will.
That's super inspiring. Just seeing how, you know, the same way that way back when the internet first came, you know, the internet became a tool that people used to make their day-to-day lives so much easier, right? Mm-hmm. You could instantly go on the internet and figure out, okay, these are my symptoms. Do I have a sickness? What might that be? The internet tells you, or you need to research. And AI is just taking all of that convenience to a whole other level. I'd like to ask you, from a social impact standpoint, seeing that lots of developing economies and emerging markets are also trying to figure out AI. A question to you, as someone who is making sure that your country and your region isn't left behind in the artificial intelligence race. Do you have some insights or opinions or thoughts about how, as people who are living in these emerging markets where there's so much potential, how do we make sure that we don't get left behind in terms of adopting some of these newer technologies?
Yeah, this is a difficult question. And because the answer is...
I don't know if there's a right answer.
I think that for developing countries, I was thinking about your question. I think that for developing countries, is difficult. And I want to explain why it's difficult. I don't think that is impossible. I really think that we can do a lot, but it's more difficult because AI adoption and bringing value from AI needs people with skills. And if we don't have those skills developed in our talent, in our people, we cannot bring the value of artificial intelligence for our countries. So people and talent and learning are really key. So we have a gap that is clear. We have a gap in education. We have a gap with skills that are necessary for artificial intelligence era. So what we have to do, in my opinion, as a priority, is to build these skills in everyone. I mean, when I'm talking about everyone, I'm talking about kids, young people, elderly people, and also the people who are working today. So all of us, we need a big challenge and to learn and get these skills in order to bring the best of artificial intelligence for our challenges. And to be honest, I see that developing countries has a lower speed, like we're going, they're improving, those countries are improving, but the rhythm, the speed is lower. So there is a risk. So we need to react, and we need to react fast. And I think that one of the ways that we need to go deeper is collaboration. I was talking about collaboration just a few minutes ago. I think that we need to collaborate among countries and maybe forget some barriers and some history, but we need to collaborate in order to bring the best of us and collaborate to grow, to bring impact, to bring value, and to bring a better quality of life for our people. But it's a big challenge, Sean. So let's see if our authorities, government leaders are able to work together in order to embrace this big challenge and cultivate and develop these skills that the people need to bring the best of this artificial intelligence era to our countries and have a better life. This is what we're all looking for.
I love that. I love that, Maria. Again, very, very hopeful perspective, right? And I think when we have the conversations about skills training and the intersection and in terms of how we're integrating technology into our learning, we offer a lot of criticism to our education systems here, right? For example, in Kenya, one of the things that we hope for as young people is that a lot of these things can be integrated in curriculum, right? Whether it's, you know, leveraging the tools to help teachers teach better or students learn better, but then also factoring in some of these innovations into the curriculums and people from a young age, people as early as, for example, your son's age of 6 years old, can not just benefit from this pool of knowledge at home, but also find a space in the schools where they can learn about these things. Yeah, I'd love to get your opinion, right? Looking ahead at the future of technology, at that intersection between technology and education in Latin America, are there some things that you're excited about or hopeful for when it comes to seeing a lot of these things integrated in curriculum and have that now translate into the workspace and how young kids are growing up and learning about some of this technology?
What I see in education here in Latin America is that education has changed just a little. So I think that we need to change faster, and education has a key role, and education needs to adapt not only the curriculum, the way that the kids learn, the way that the universities teach, because we are in a new era, so we need different skills. And one of the skills that we need is curiosity, for example. And we also need to learn how we should delegate to artificial intelligence, how we can identify bias risk. So it's completely different. I'm pretty sure Sean and Boniface, that me neither, we didn't learn those skills when we were at school or at the university. So education has to change faster. And it's not easy. It's not an easy challenge. It's very easy to say that. And I know that it's difficult. But again, I think that the collaboration is key. Why? What about if we have a collaboration approach that allows a university or school or maybe a whole country with a technology company as Microsoft? And what about if we collaborate and we transform education together? And we
that
have
these
so kind
awesome.
Of examples. We have this kind of example in different countries, not only Latin America. For example, Sri Lanka in Asia just announced that they signed an agreement, they signed an alliance with Microsoft in order to transform the education in Sri Lanka and live and be protagonist of AI transformation. I think that some countries has been quite conservative, but some other are reacting in a very positive way, and they are seeing that the collaboration is the path today.
Wow. So when we look at all of these things, lots of trends going on, lots of movements that, you know, we need to stay ahead of, and hopefully we can be taught these things in our institutions. What's exciting you in the world of technology right now. So when you look into the future and you see 10 or 20 years into the future, what are some big predictions that you have, Maria, about how we will live, how we will work, and how technology is going to play a part in all of that? What are some predictions that you have about that?
I have no prediction for 10 or 20 years. I think that is too difficult because technology is changing very fast.
Let's say, but maybe five. Say 5 to 10. How about that?
5 to 10. Well, let's say no. I think that 3 to 5. What about 3 to 5? Okay. It's even difficult, but 3 to 5. I think that artificial intelligence is going to be part of our daily life, is already part of our daily life, but even more. And artificial intelligence is not only going to be able to answer questions, but artificial intelligence is also going to help us to ask questions, and is going to be involved in every process inside the companies, in the government. So it's going to be part of our daily life, but even without notice that the presence of artificial intelligence in a very natural way. So we will have a new generation, Sean, also, like AI natives, but not only AI natives people, we will have also like AI natives organizations. And I think that they will help us a lot to the rest of us who we need. The rest of us, we need transformation. So, but I think that the natives will help us to face this transformation. So this is what I'm seeing in the next 3 to 5 years, to see artificial intelligence everywhere. And yes, and I'm optimistic, to be honest. I'm really optimistic. And I think that we have a huge opportunity to have more free time, why not, a better quality of life, and solve some of the problems that that we have today. So, but it's about us. It's not just about the big technology companies. It's about everyone. It's about people at the end.
It's about people. That's a beautiful way to end this very refreshing conversation, Maria. I feel like I've gotten a bit more insight into the world of AI and technology, but then more so, it's been an amazing pleasure just learning about you and your fantastic story. We have this beautiful segment that we end our podcast with. It's called the elevator segment, right? So picture this, you're leaving our boardroom and you're walking to the elevator. And as you get into the elevator, one of our young interns hops in and has a couple of quick fire questions to ask you that you have to answer. Quickly.
I'm scared now.
No pressure. He's a very friendly intern. And so let me know if you're ready for this next segment, Maria.
Well, let's see.
All right. So the first question is, if you were to move to a different city in the world, right? It doesn't have to be in South America. It could be in Africa, Europe, North America. If you were to move to a different city in the world and spend 6 months living there and exploring a different culture, which city and which country in the world would you choose?
Wow, I love the question. Sydney in Australia, because I just visited for vacations, but I haven't had the opportunity to live there. And I think that is a beautiful place to spend 6 months, but I have to say that I've done these kind of experiences, and I just had the opportunity to live almost 3 months in Madrid, and I really enjoyed the experience to change my routine and start over like in a new place, and I really love these kind of experiences. So yes, I will do it. I will definitely do it, and maybe why not. It's not just about the question, it's about reality.
Love it. All the best with that. Let us know when you do. Might hop over there and join you in Sydney.
I will.
Our next question Are there any recent healthy habits that you've picked up that have helped your either productivity or just general wellness and well-being that you'd recommend our listeners to try it out?
I try to keep sometime every day to learn something and allow me to be curious. This is something that I enjoy, and I try to keep some time. You don't need 2 hours, and we are all busy, but maybe just keep 30 minutes just to reflect, to read about something different, to ask questions. So this is something that I enjoy, and I try to do it every day.
Fantastic. We're definitely gonna try and do that ourselves for sure. So, third question is, if you had to the opportunity to drop everything and start a business, is there any particular industry or space that you would want to set up a startup in? We have $1 million here at Boardroom Banter. We'll invest. What kind of a startup, if given the chance to build, would you be interested in pursuing?
I will try something completely different, something like a restaurant or a
Nice.
coffee place, like something really, really different. I wouldn't think about something similar, what that the thing that I do today. I would love to do something completely different and well and enjoying this $1 million investment and try something different.
That's fantastic. And I didn't see that coming. So that's a good thing. I think you like having good food and going to nice cafes. I think
I love it,
it's
yeah.
Awesome. What's your favorite food now that you've talked about cafes and
Well, I
restaurants?
like everything. I like everything, but seafood, I will say that is my favorite. Seafood.
Seafood. Love it. Seafood is also my favorite. So that's a great coincidence. So, Maria, we want to thank you so much for your time. We've come to the end of our recording today. We've learned so much, not only about you and your journey, but also about what you're optimistic about in the space of technology. One thing that stuck with me is how you said that, technology is a tool for us to collaborate. And it's very evident. I mean, we're here on this podcast. Half of the team is in Nairobi. Some of us are in Amsterdam. Then there's you. We're all over the world, but we're able to collaborate and create value. And I think that being our attitude towards how we approach all new technologies and learning constantly, you've really instilled in us and emphasized that that's the best way to go about interacting with these tools. So we appreciate you for your time today. And to all our listeners who have made it this far in the episode, we want to say a big thank you to everyone. And from us in the boardroom, from myself, Sean, from my co-host Boniface and Yuri Koret, we want to wish everyone a blessed week ahead and a fantastic time chasing after your dreams. Thank you so much for listening in to today's episode. We hope that you have gained some value from our guest today, Maria Francisca Yanez. If you want to learn more about the work that she does, go check her out on LinkedIn. We love the articles that she reshares and the different insights on technology. Thank you so much, Maria, for joining us today. It was
Thanks
our
for
pleasure.
invitation. It was fun.
Awesome. See you all on the next episode. Thank you. Hey there, folks. We're wrapping up today's episode with a quick one from our sponsors, Nepal Tea Collective. Nepal Tea is a social enterprise based in New York that distributes the freshest organically grown teas to different parts of the world, directly sourced from smallholder farmers in the beautiful country of, you guessed it, Nepal. We're proud to be sponsored by them, and at the end of our episodes, we like to wind down, and we cannot think of a better way to wind down than with a cup of hot Nepal tea. So if you'd like to check them out, go and look them up at nepalteacollective.com. That's nepalteacollective.com for more information. See you on the next one, guys.